if you would like to stay there for some time before you go back. So for them, this opportunity is given, that they'll be allowed to stay there for some time according to whoever has offered you the invitation. And you could spend their time there, and eventually you go back to Brahmaloka, and when Lord Brahma goes back, you can go back with him to the spiritual world. But the Sadhyamukti is different. Sadhyamukti is that you are not interested in staying anywhere in these planets, any of these planets. As soon as you leave this world, you want to be back in the spiritual world. So there's two different methods through which one can go back. Sudeva Goswami explained these things in the second canto in the beginning to Parikshit Maharaj. In some depth, not in very detail, but in some depth, because Parikshit Maharaj was curious to know about these things. So he told them, Ashtanga Yoga system can help you, the eight kinds of yoga system, to go through these different kinds of liberation. But for a devotee, he is not even asking for liberation. That is a devotee's position, because he knows that if I am serving Krishna sincerely, and if I am doing what Krishna has asked me to do, and if my attachment to Krishna is complete, where is the question of me suffering here or there? I'm always protected by Krishna. It's a different concept and it's a different understanding. A devotee's relationship with Krishna is completely different than a jnani or a yogi has with Krishna. Jnani and yogi has to put their own effort to make that success, to make their process success. Jnani has to study. Jnani has to perform a lot of sadhana in his life. But his personal effort has a lot to do with it. And if he is not successful, eventually he may lose out also. Lord Brahma has spoken about it in his Brahma's prayers in the Bhagavatam. So similarly, yogi also, Ashtanga Yoga is a difficult process to practice. And to make it perfect, also very difficult, because as much as you are progressing, so many mystic powers will come to you and you will get stuck there. You won't go further than that. And there are certain mystic powers, Krishna won't give it to anybody else. It's only Krishna has got it. Nobody else has got it. Krishna is not going to give it to anybody. Krishna says that also in the Bhagavatam. Some mystic powers he offers to some of the devotees or some of the yogis. He gives it to them. So eventually what happens is that a devotee is not bothered about any of these things. Neither about jnanam nor about yoga, anything like that. All he is interested is, how can I please Krishna? That's all a devotee's mind is working on all the time. And when that everything has to become a peak of its intensity, you see, when it comes to that intense form of his consciousness, his devotion voice, then immediately Krishna offers him what is required. That is, that decision is completely in Krishna's hands.
കളവേണു കൊണിതാതൃദാനനെന്തോഹ മമ വാജി വിജൃംഭദാം മുരാരേ മധുരിന്ന കനികാപി കാപി കാപി നമഃ ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിൻ ഇതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശതാരിണേ ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശാം യാസം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാധീഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദപരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖകൗമോദനീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം മാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണം ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യവരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമാം മോഹം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽ കൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ.
സോ വി വർ ടോക്കിംഗ് ലാസ്റ്റ് സൺഡേ ഫ്രം ദി ശ്രീമൽ ഭാഗവതം വേ Sudeva Goswami has been talking to Parikshit Maharaj from the fifth canto. In the Bhagavatam, at this point, Sudeva Goswami is talking now to Parikshit
about the Maharaj Rishabhadeva instructions to his sons and to the and to his subjects, both of them. He has assembled all of them together and he is talking to them, all of them in one group. So, as said in this chapter, it's the continuing instructions for a long time, and we were speaking about what is known in the Shastra as Hridaya Granthi. Hridaya Granthi means that the knot of material attachment, what is within us to the, towards this material world. Like we have seen that the in the material world, Vishwadeva says there that the male and the female population generally, they always have a hankering for the opposite side. The male always considers, or the mind is filled with the thoughts of the female, and the female's mind is filled with the thoughts of the male, and that is in every species of life. And that's the way the material creation is among the all living species. So when it is like that, that is what is known as Hridaya Granthi, or that knot of attachment towards this material world is created in that fashion, in that manner. Pumsastriya maithuni bhavamanyam tayormido hridaya granthi mahu ato grihakshetra sudaptavirter janasya mohoyamaham mameti. That attachment grows up strongly in one's mind, and particularly in the case of householders, there's a possibility of growing that further. That tree will grow further than ato griha kshetra sudaptavitir. Then it increases into the form of the house or the land, kshetra, the land or the field. Sudaptavitir, the children, money and society, all this becomes important in a householder's life. Ato griha kshetra sudaptavitir janasya mohoyamaham mamedi. That it increases, eventually it ends up in one concept only, and that conception is aham mamedi. It is me and it, everything is mine. This concept grows very strongly into the householder's mind. So it's with reference to householders that Rishabhadeva has spoken in this manner, not to, about the brahmacharis and the sannyasis, particularly in reference to the householders. It's not that these things won't happen in sannyasi's mind or in the brahmachari's mind. It can happen there also. But because the there is not enough opportunity for them for such a thing to happen, and generally in the sannyasa ashram, when one enters into that, one has to have a certain, quite a high degree of renunciation attachment from this material world. And that's what's expected according to Srimad Bhagavatam and all the other Upanishads relating to sannyasa ashram. There is quite a few Upanishads which talks about the sannyasa ashram and its glories. And we will see also later on in Maharaj Rishabhadeva's case, the kind of sannyasam he has taken and how that sannyasam, how his activities were, which could not be compared by today's activities of sannyasis. It is not possible to compare these two things together. Basically, Maharaj Rishabhadeva, being an incarnation of Krishna, his intention was to teach this world the Vedic tradition in its pure form, without any concessions anywhere. And it was a time when it was preached was also, the people were very, very much receptive and capable of executing the Varnashrama Dharma properly. And therefore, Maharaj Rishabhadeva, when he spoke without any concessions, without any sort of changes from the original Vedic tradition, how it existed among the great personalities, or how the sages envisaged that the sannyasa ashram will be performed. Later on we find sannyasa ashram in course of time has also changed in its pattern and activities also. And as the Kali Yuga advances, Kali Yuga changes further and further, the activities of sannyasis also will not be precisely according to the injunctions in the Shastra. More or less it will become a little different, and which we can always see. So anyway, here Maharaj Rishabhadeva instructed in this manner to his sons and to his children. And after instructing about Hridaya Granthi, or this knot of attachment, his instruction was how to break this knot of material attachment. That is, the next few verses from now, he is talking about what qualities one should have if he wants to break away to this attachment to this material world. Generally, people have this conception that, oh, I'm not attached to anything, I'm very renounced. But it is not the true situation. Attachment is very much there in everyone's heart. And to give up this attachment, unless it is one has received the mercy of Krishna, it is not possible to give up that attachment. And Krishna is actually helps a living entity through the spiritual instructions Krishna has given through Srimad Bhagavatam to Uddhava and to Arjuna. One can understand the precise nature of the renunciation required for an aspiring soul who wants to advance on the spiritual path. So coming to that point, we'll see that there are a few verses which he has spoken and how to break that attachment. Hamse guru mai bhaktyanuvrtya vidrishnaya dvanda titikshayajam sarvatra jandor vyasanavagatya jinyasaya tapaseha nuvrtya mal karma bhir mal kadaya janityam madeva sangal gunakirtananmi nurvaira samyobashamena putra jihasaya dehage halpa buddhehe adhyalma yogena vivikta sevaya pranendriyalma abhijayena sadre sashraddhaya brahmacharyena shashval asambramadena yamena vacham sarvatramal bhava vichakshanena jnanena vijnana virajidena yogena drutyudhyama sattvayukto lingam vibohel kushalohamankhyam. So altogether in these four verses, Rishabhadev says there is about 25 different qualities mentioned there. For a person who wants to break away this attachment to this material world, that 25 particular activities required in one's life, then he should see the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotion to Him. Necessary. Renunciation is possible when one understands that material world is a place of misery and as well as the continuous desire for advancing on the spiritual path, which is known as the Tattva Jitnyasa, or the strong desire to free oneself from this material world. Austerities and penances, willing to sacrifice one's own activities for the benefit of others. And in addition to all that, one should be enthusiastic to listen about the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Krishna's activities, Krishna's birth, Krishna's pastimes, and all the time glorifying about Krishna's Krishna's activities. Not being inimical to anyone else, peaceful in his existence, not being attached to the home and to the family, as well as the always thoughtful about the spiritual side of life, living alone, controlling one's own senses, and seriousness, enthusiastic about it, celibacy, no, free from false pride, like that. And ultimately what can happen is, and one studying the, cultivating the knowledge, Jnana Sambhadanam, Ashtanga Yogam, and also engaging in yogic activities, and a complete determination to advance on the spiritual path. So all these qualities which he has described, which Rishabhadev has spoken to his children, with the intention of making them realize that spiritual life is not something so easy that one can make that progress. It requires tremendous determination and strength. And after talking about that, he says here, karma ashayam khalaya grandi bandham avidyaya sadhinam apramattam anena yogena yathopadesham samyak vibohyom paramedha yogal. If one practices this regularly over a long period of time, Rishabhadev says there, one will be in a position to break away this knot of attachment. This knot of attachment is a very subtle thing. It is not something which can be easily understood. And that is experienced in situations in life. One's own life, one sees to it. One can see how much attachment we have to everything in this material world, not only to one's own family, even in many other ways, one has certain, quite a strong degree of attachment. And this Hridaya Granthi, which has developed inside, going through different species of life, when we have acquired different attachments to different things, all that builds up very strongly in the human mind. And after one has been able to break up this, and then Shivadeva instructs there a certain few more things. Putram shashishyam shanrabo gururva malloga kama madanugyahartha ittam vivanyura nishishya tadajnyan na yojayel karmasu karma modhan tam yojayan manijortham labheda nipadayan ashtadrasham higarte. That in a few verses he talks about
that what should one intelligent person do, one who understands Srimad Bhagavatam and one who understands the seriousness of Rishabhadev's instruction. Maharaj Rishabhadev says there, it should be spoken and instructed to others, because others may take benefit from that. Loga swayam shreyasi nashta drishti arthan samiheda nigama kama anyonyavairam sukhalesha hedo ananda dukham chanaveda mudaha kastam swayam nadavijyo vibhaschil avidyaya mandare vartamanam drishtva punastam sagranakku buddhim prayojayel ulpadagam yathandam. Then Rishabhadev says there to his children and to the population who assembled there, that when one knows that in this one's own life, that ultimately one is not benefiting anything from this material life in this world, and if he is driving other people also in the same direction, what is the benefit of that kind of association? This is what Maharaj Rishabhadev asked to his children. He was trying to make them realize the seriousness and the value of the human form of life, which is not the same as in any other species, because in human form of life, one has got the opportunity to understand what is his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Krishna's instructions also is not different from this in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Later on, Krishna instructs about this. Labdhva sudurlabham idam bahu sambhavani manushyam arthadam anityam apiha dhiraha turnam padedyade anumurtidaval nishreyasaya vishaya khalu sarvadasyal. Krishna says to Uddhava, that labdhu asudurlabham idam bahu sambhavani. One thing what is interesting is that what Krishna has spoken to Uddhava, what Rishabhadeva has spoken to his children, what Kapila Vasudeva has spoken to Devahuri Devi, in essence they all are same. So you can see that this is a philosophy which hasn't changed from any time. People think that sometimes the philosophy has been changed according to time and circumstances. Philosophy doesn't change. What changes is the way it is executed may change, or the process may change little bit. But apart from that, the philosophical, basic philosophy of Vedic concept of life hasn't changed from time immemorial. Even Kapila Vasudeva, when he instructed his mother, Devahuti Devi, when Krishna instructed Uddhava, when Rishabhadev instructed his own children, the basic principle remains the same, that attachment to this material world is the cause of all the is difficult. When one is so too attached to the material world, it is difficult to make the progress on the spiritual path. Therefore, all the acharyas also all time insisted that one has to develop the required renunciation or detachment to this material world. Otherwise, it is not possible. It is like they used to compare like an anchored ship. The ship is sailing, but it is strongly anchored here. And when it is strongly anchored, the ship won't move. It will stay here where it is. And that is what happens in most of the cases. So here, in this relationship also, Rishabhadev is saying to his children that unless and until you understand that you do not execute your duty properly in this world until you have realized this one particular point, and similarly you encourage others also to do the same. Guru na sasyal, sajano na sasyal, pita na sasyal, janani na sasyal. That one is not considered to be guru na sasyal, sajano na sasyal. He is not even considered as a spiritual master if he is not instructing them that ultimate goal of life is to go back home, back to Godhead. Because why did he say like that? Is it like that there are some spiritual masters who don't tell their disciples that they don't have to go back to Godhead, that they can stay here? So it is a possibility that there may be a situation that there are so many people who say they are gurus and they are the spiritual masters in this world. But sometimes when they themselves lose the enthusiasm to go back to the spiritual world, automatically the followers will also lose that same spirit. Because the duty of the spiritual master is to encourage his disciples to go back to the spiritual world. That is where their success is, that ultimately bringing them back to Krishna. So the Guru Arna Sasyal, so the first instance itself, Maharaj Rishabhadev insisted, told that even you are not a spiritual master, Guru Arna Sasyal, Sajano Arna Sasyal. If the Guru is not encouraging the disciple to go back to the spiritual world, Sujano na sasyal, one is not even a relative. If you are not considered to be a proper relative of someone, if you are not encouraging them in Krishna consciousness or in the that strong desire which is known as mumukshatvam in Shastra. Shastra says that unless and until one has the strong desire to go back home, back to Krishna, all this process will not work with the intention. Otherwise, in the Srimad Bhagavatam says very clearly that this is the whole essence of all the Vedic concept of life, or the principle, is that Guru Nasasyal, Sajano Nasasyal, Pita Nasasyal, Janani Nasasyal. You're not even considered to be a father or a mother. Devam Nasasyal, Na Pidascha Sasyal, Namo Jayedya Samubeda Murtim. That he's not even considered God, it says here. Devam Nasasyal, Na Sudascha Sasyal, Namo Jayedya Samubeda Murtim. That one is not considered a husband or a wife. Anyway, whatever it is, any relationship in this material world is ultimately meant for helping other living entities, to encourage them to go back home, back to Krishna. So with these few verses, Rishabhadeva spoke to his sons and to the public about the goal of life. And he made them very, very serious about spiritual life. He was not talking to them in a very casual way, but he wanted them to realize that before he departed from the palace, he wanted to make them fully understand that the goal of spiritual life is to go back home, back to Krishna. Human life is meant for that purpose. Throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find that great, great devotees like Bhishma Dev, Kunti Devi, and Prahlad Maharaj, and so many others, Ambarish Maharaj, every one of them, they were great kings and great devotees at the same time. Even their request was, they also was in the same direction. That although they had to execute so many things in this material world as kings and emperors, they had much more responsibility than all of us had. But in spite of all that, if you look into Bhishma Pitamaha's life or Ambarish Maharaj's life, you will see that the mind was always focused on going back to Krishna. So in this way, they were instructed by Maharaj Rishabhadev. And after that, Rishabhadev spoke to them something more before he concluded his lecture, before he concluded his instructions to them. And that was, Maharaj Rishabhadev wanted them to understand that why human life is so precious. Human life is much more precious. In fact, we do not know, rather we are not able to appreciate the value of human life. We think that, I have got a human body, I just happen to be here in this body. But it is not like that according to the Vedic point of view. That one has got this human form of body after going through many, many different species. In fact, the whole Vedic philosophy is based on these two principles. One is the law of karma and the other one is the principle of changing the body. These two concepts of Vedic philosophy doesn't exist anywhere else. This is very much special to Vedic philosophy. No other philosophy in this world presents these two concepts as strongly as the Vedic literature. So because of this, these two concepts become the very fundamental issues of the Vedic philosophy. The laws of karma and the principle of the transmigration of the soul from one body to another. That to understand that ultimately this human body has attained after going through so many spaces, it looks sometimes very difficult for many, many people to accept this concept, because they still think that this is something very, very difficult to perceive, how this has happened. Because Vedic philosophy is so much deeply involved in the very basics of the spirit soul, Vedic philosophy does not preach religion like many others do. It preaches from the very basics of the human existence. That the soul, our spiritual identity as spirit soul, having traveled through so many different species, has ultimately come to this human form of life. And in that human form of life, it is the last opportunity one has to make that decision, either to go back to the spiritual world or want to continue to accept other bodies again and come back to the cycle of 8.4 million different species. So Krishna says there about this, labdhva sudurlabham idam bahusambhavande manushyam arthadam anityam apihadhiraha. That Krishna says that this is such a rare opportunity, and Krishna was very, very serious when he spoke about this. When he spoke to Uddhava about this, he was so serious that Uddhava was listening to Krishna. In fact, what you have to remember here is that a personality like Uddhava, who spent considerable amount of time with Krishna, he already had enough renunciation. As far as I see from the Bhagavatam and from the other Puranas, according to my understanding, Uddhava never got married. He was a brahmachari throughout his life. Not only he was a brahmachari, he spent all these 112 years of time with Krishna, completely in serving him in all through his life. So a personality like Uddhava, he didn't require instructions on renunciation, because already by his Krishna consciousness, advanced Krishna consciousness, Uddhava was already a liberated soul. He didn't require any further instructions from anybody about renunciation. But exactly like Krishna spoke to Arjuna, Bhagavad Gita, Nimitta Matram Bhava Savya Sajin. Krishna says to Arjuna that you are already my devotee. You do not require my instruction specifically. In other words, Krishna has protected him throughout, which is what we find in the Mahabharata. But still, keeping Arjuna as an object, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita through Arjuna to this world. That is a fact everyone has accepted. That this instructions which was given to Arjuna was not required really for Arjuna to act. Because Krishna says that whether you act or not, the matter is already settled. There was no need to continue it. But keeping Arjuna as an object, the whole Mahabharata war happened, and during that war, these instructions were given to Arjuna, because if you see Arjuna's mood at that moment, what does it say in Bhagavad Gita? What was the mood in which Arjuna received the instructions? It says in the Bhagavad Gita that Arjuna was lamenting. In full lamentation he was sitting there. And in that lamenting mood that he was given the instructions by Krishna. So Arjuna was also throughout Bhagavatam you will notice this important thing, that when you are instructing about spiritual life to someone, you also have to see whether the person who is receiving the instructions is ready for it or not. If somebody is not ready for it, there is no point. It will have no impact on that person, no matter how nicely you put forward the things to him. In the Bhagavatam, there are so many examples. But when Devahuti Devi was instructed by his own mother, Kapila Vasudev, Lord Kapila stayed with his mother for many, many days, many months actually, before he started instructing Devahuti Devi. Because one day, Devahuti Devi felt depressed in life. She felt depressed and started realizing about the futility of this material enjoyment. In other words, renunciation has built up inside. Some renunciation has gone into her heart. And at that point, Devahuti Devi came to Kapila Vasudev and asked for instruction. And it was at that point, you will see in the Bhagavatam, Nirvinna Nidharam Bhuman Asad Indriya Darshanal Yena Sambhavyamanena Prabhannantham Tamaprabhom. That is how Devahuti Devi said to Kapila Vasudev, Nirvinna Nidharam Bhuman Asad Indriya Darshanal Yena Sambhavyamanena Prabhannantham Tamaprabhom. That what she was seeing all around her is nothing but darkness, she says. That I will fall into the deepest ignorance if I continue the way I am living today. This was her own lamentation, Devahuti Devi's own lamentation. And Asad Indriya Darshanal, if I do not control, I am fed up actually satisfying my own senses. This is what her words were. So long as this sense gratification does not come to an end, or in other words, one does not realize that sense gratification is not the goal of life, spiritual instructions may not act. And that is what it is pointing out to us, that Devahuti Devi came to this understanding that if I continuously satisfy my senses, what is going to happen to me at the end? Whole life I have been satisfying we have five senses of knowledge, five senses of action. And I have been satisfying this throughout. Is there any time when I can say that I am now satisfied with my gratification? No. So Devahuti Devi came to this understanding and said to Kapila Vasudev that there is a point that has come in my life that I see, I don't know which direction I am moving now. Asad Indriya Darshanadhyena Sambhavyamanena Prabhannantham Tamaprabhom. That I can see that I am falling into that deepest ignorance. No mother has ever asked a question like this in the past. And there is no possibility that any mother will ask such a question in the future either. That is how that Devahuti Devi's special position is mentioned in the Bhagavatam. So anyway, Kapila Vasudev realized at that point that Vairagyam has come to her, or Vairagyam, she is ready for accepting instructions. And it is at that point Lord teachings of Lord Kapila begins in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Similarly, when Arjuna was sitting in the chariot, fully depressed with the war, and the thoughts that has come to his mind that he had to he had to fight a very major war to win the war to save his own relatives from the enemies, all these different kinds of thoughts which has gone through Arjuna's mind. Arjuna expresses that in the Bhagavad Gita. You will see in the second chapter itself what Arjuna has spoken to Krishna. Arjuna had no interest. And it was in that depressed condition that Arjuna became conscious that he has to have some higher instructions. So you can see at that point, Arjuna, Shishyasteham Shadhimam Tvam Prapannam, that Arjuna surrendered to Krishna at that point. Arjuna said to Krishna that, till now I was your friend, but now I am accepting you as my teacher. Please instruct me what is the right thing to do. So you can see that Arjuna also accepted something, that I am lacking something in myself, and he has come to that understanding. Shishyasteham Shadhimam Tvam Prapannam, that I am completely surrendered to Krishna. And at that point Krishna instructed Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Similarly, while coming in the Ikashaskandam also, Uddhava had sufficient degree of renunciation. But in spite of all that, Krishna begins his instructions about renunciation first. And to support that argument, Krishna brought forward the sannyasa ashram of Atreya Rishi. And it is through that he brought in the 24 spiritual masters from whom he has learned what is renunciation. There is no textbook, there is no instructor to this sannyasi Atreya Rishi. Atreya Rishi has kept these, what he learned from this own world, this very world what we live in, is probably an opportunity to learn also many things what is required for advancing on spiritual path. Krishna says to Uddhava like that. So it is in that background that Uddhava was instructed about the about this sannyasa ashram, about the degree of renunciation that is what was required. So in that process, Arjuna, Uddhava was asking, and Krishna was saying to him very, very seriously, Labdhu asudur labhamidam bahu sambhavane, that human form of life has come to you after a many different species what you have gone through. Now if we accept Krishna's instructions, if we find that Krishna's instructions are as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it's the right instruction, one cannot ignore this fact that we had gone through different species before we have come to this human life. Manushyam arthadam anityam apihathiraha, that human form of life is so precious that there is something valuable one can achieve in this human body. Apihathiraha turnam padet yadedanamurtyadaval nishreyasaya vishaya kharu sarvadasyal, that one day Krishna says this body will drop off. You won't be able to help that situation. Before that happens, Krishna says, anumurtyadaval nishreyasaya vishaya kharu sarvadasyal. If you endeavor very, very hard, Krishna says to Uddhava, that there is a possibility that you may be able to attain the highest and the most auspicious thing in this human birth. Because it is Krishna again who says to Uddhava about this, that this opportunity, human body, is just mukti dwaram abhavradam, that you are already very close to the door of liberation. You are so close now, if you keep one more step inwards, you are back into the spiritual world. That is how close the human life is, human body is. That is a special facility in the human body. So Krishna says to Uddhava that let the people not waste. Through Uddhava, Krishna wanted to instruct this world, and this knowledge in the Srimad Bhagavatam is only this one thing, that human life is so precious that it has to be utilized somehow or the other to go back home, back to Krishna. So like this, Krishna has instructed in the Ekadashaskandam. In the similarly, you find in the third canto, Kapila Vasudeva instructing Devahuti Devi. And exactly the same thing in the fifth canto, you find Shavadeva is also saying exactly the same thing to his own children. And to that, this life, human life, is a very, very special life. It is not as much as, because why? That is also discussed in the Bhagavatam many times before, that it is the only life where it is complete in as it is built up. When Lord Brahma created, Brahma himself acknowledges that fact, that this is the only body which is capable of developing spiritual life. Because three modes of material nature, five senses of knowledge, five senses of action, five different sheets, prana, pranamaya gosham, manomaya gosham, vijnanamaya gosham, anandamaya gosham, everything, all the required ingredients are already there in this body. And if it is utilized properly, Rishabhadev says that it is the best opportunity to go back. So with that in mind, he said to his children, idam shariram mama durvibhavyam sattvam hime hrudayam yatra dharma prishto akrudomi yamad yada dharma mara arada dohi mam rishabham prahuraryaham tasmal bhavando hrudayena jana sarvai mahiyam samam sanabham aklishta buddhya bharadam bajadvam shushrushanam talbharanam prajanam.
Bhudeshu Virulbhyam Uduttamayi Sarisravasteshu Sabhodanishtaham Tado Manushya Pramathastadovi Gandharva Sindhya Vibhudanugayim Devasurebhya Mahaval Pradhanam Dakshadayo Brahma Sudastudesham Pavaparaswadha Virinjavirya Samalparoham Dujadeva Devaham Na Brahmane Stulaye Bhudamanyal Pashyami Viprahinada Paramdo Yasminna Viprahudam Jardhayaham Ashnami Kamam Na Tathagni Hotrayim Vridadanuru Shadime Puranim Yeneha Sattvam Paramam Pavitram So in these few verses, Rishabhadev says to his children that in the different species, he is comparing different species. There is the non-moving dead matter in this world. More advanced than the dead matter is the trees and the plants. Although they can't move, at least they have some living force in there working through them all the time. And higher than these trees and plants are the aquatics and other worms and the lower species among the animals. And higher than that is the birds, the beasts. And beyond than that, he says there is the human society, human species. And above than the human species also, there are higher living entities like the Gandharvas, the Siddhas, the Charanas and others, demigods and also. And he says here, the Chadayo Brahma Sudastu Desham, Lord Brahma's children, the Prajapatis, Lord Shiva, everyone is mentioned here. Samalparoham Dujadeva Devaham. But if it is all like that, why human life is so valuable than the other? Because the many of the higher species of life, they have also got difficulties. Just like the lower species of life suffers in one way, the higher species of life also has got problems that due to their extreme mood of goodness, it becomes a problem for them to give up their attachment to that life. That they do not experience the distress of this material world to a degree like the human society is experiencing. So therefore, that becomes a problem for them. And therefore, Krishna is particularly concerned about those people who engage in spiritual life and cultivate the Brahminical qualities. Dujadeva Devaham, that devotees and the Brahmanas are very dear to Krishna because of this reason. That Krishna acknowledges that fact here. Through Rishabhadeva's instructions we find that Rishabhadeva has accepted that as the that the Supreme Personality of Godhead accepts everything only for one reason, that the Brahmanas, particularly because of their renunciation, detachment and their determination in cultivating spiritual knowledge, they are dear to Krishna. That is the qualities what Krishna appreciates in a Brahminical nature or the Brahminical qualities. So because of all these things, Rishabhadev says to his children that developed those Brahminical qualities. They were Kshatriyas by birth. They were Kshatriyas. All of them were Kshatriyas. The Maharaj Rishabhadev himself was a Kshatriya. But because he is the personality of Godhead and because he knows what is expected from the human society, he instructed them of the glories of the Brahminical life or the Brahminical nature. So these Brahminical nature, the qualities which are instructed by Rishabhadev were followed by his children in due course, which you can see. 81 of them, 81 children out of the 100 became Brahmanas. They became by qualities Brahmana. 9 of them becomes great yogis, yogeshwaras, which are known in the Bhagavatam as Kavirhari Andariksha, Prabuddha Pipalayanam, Avirhotrauscha Dhrumilaschamasa Karabhajanam. There are 9 great sages whose story, if you have to hear, it will come in the 11th canto later. So like this, he has instructed all these children about it. And when the instructions were over, Rishabhadev realized now that the time has come to leave this world. So exactly as per the Vedic tradition, Rishabhadev decided to move into the sannyas ashram. And that is also very interesting in the Bhagavatam, how Rishabhadev took sannyas. When Rishabhadev took sannyas, it's much different in the sense that he wanted to show to the world what exactly happens in the sannyas ashram. And that sannyas ashram is what is mentioned here in the Bhagavatam. So that sannyas ashram, there are not many personalities who could follow that sannyas ashram of Maharaj Rishabhadev. Even today, there is practically, you can see that it is very difficult to follow that principles of sannyas ashram what Rishabhadev has exhibited at that time. After he has instructed his children in the public, he realized that now that I have to depart from this world. But prior to departure, because he is the Supreme Personality of God in himself, he decided to show to the world the principles of sannyas ashram. And out of the many stages in the sannyas ashram, he has taken up the last stage, which is the Paramahamsa stage. And in that stage you can see how he has acted. Practically by that time,
His subtle body has completely been dissolved. In other words, he had no mind, no intelligence, and nothing was working inside. Generally, in our constitution, in the human form, we have a gross body, inside that we have the subtle body. So it is the subtle body which is very difficult to get rid of. Gross body will drop off one day, that doesn't matter. But the subtle body inside, that is the most difficult thing, which carries the soul from one species to another, one body to another. This is the Vedic concept about our life. So exactly the same thing, Rishabhadev has almost lost his subtle body. Subtle body, for him, the subtle body was finished first, and later on the gross body drops off. Normally, in many cases, most of us lose our gross body first. The subtle body doesn't leave us easily. Subtle body goes along with it to the next body. But in Rishabhadev's case, you can see that the subtle body has already finished. In other words, there was no more subtle body in him. The result was that he did not belong to this world anymore. Or in other words, the rules and regulations of this world did not affect him. So therefore, Rishabhadev's activities at that point was completely transcendental. You could see here in the Bhagavad Gita, it explains very clearly how Rishabhadev moved from one place to another. So he decided to leave his palace. He said, this is the emperor of the world doing this, not an ordinary person. Maharaj Rishabhadev, who has divided his kingdom into children and asked his children to look after, and is walking away from the palace. This is the tradition of these great personalities. Their tradition is not hanging on to the power forever. That's our tradition. But their tradition is that at the appropriate time, walk away from this, from their position, from whatever position they held. They were so powerful personalities. Rishabhadev walked out of his palace, where his palace was in the place known as Brahmavartam, between the Ganges and the Yamuna, that area. He started walking from there. By now, because the subtle body is completely dissolved, automatically he was not aware of what he was doing. But at the same time, his body has become so beautiful because of the yogic sadhana or yogic performances what he has done, and because of the already liberated state. Although liberated, still in this material body, this was his condition. So when he started walking, Parikshit Maharaj was hearing about this, and he asked Sukadeva Goswami, how is that possible, such a thing could happen? Parikshit Maharaj was in terribly in wonder, hearing about the activities of Rishabhadev. But there is also something else more interesting there, because Sukadeva Goswami, that is Srishabha Brahmarshi, Parikshit Maharaj's spiritual master, also had the same nature. This is why it's interesting. When Sukadeva Goswami walked into that spot, into to speak to Parikshit Maharaj, he arrived in the same mood, just like Rishabhadev left the palace. It was the same consciousness. In other words, Sukadeva Goswami was a liberated soul, already liberated. And therefore, when he walked in to see Parikshit Maharaj, he was not concerned about what was going around in this world. It doesn't affect them. They had reached that Avadhuta state or the Paramahamsa state of realization. From there is no question of coming back to this material consciousness. In the material consciousness, we have to follow the different rules and different regulations, and we have to respect what the society tells us, what the government tells us. There are millions of rules to control us in this world, the conditioned state. That is our material life. But in the liberated state, these rules and regulations don't apply to them. They are already gone beyond than that. Loga Bahyam, that is how in the Bhagavad Gita it says, they have gone outside this world. These rules and regulations apply only to those who are bound here, not for those who are freed from this world. So when Rishabhadev left the palace and started walking out, majority of the people took it in a different way. They started seeing him that this person has gone mad, because he was not wearing any clothes, he was having matted hair by now, and his beard has grown up, and he was walking freely without being affected by anything what was going on in this world. Exactly like Sukadeva Goswami walked in to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. He was followed by a number of women and children seeing him in that condition, and when they all came along, but Sukadeva Goswami was not affected. In the Bhagavatam, Vedavyasa Maharshi himself acknowledges this fact. That putra, calling him putra, the answer didn't come back from Sukadeva Goswami. Why? All the trees and the plants and the creepers have answered him, answered Vedavyasa Maharshi. How could he do that? Because tam putrena, that all the reply has come from different living entities, because Sri Shugan had the ability to speak through them. Already that consciousness has come to that stage of realization that all other living entities, it is the one consciousness that is present in every living entity, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the same consciousness is present in every living entity. Putraeti tanmaydhayattaravobhinedu tam sarvabhudakhdayam munim anathosmi. That word, sarvabhudakhdayam, is indicating that, to say that in every living entity, who is present in there? That is the Supreme Personality of Godhead is present in everyone. Krishna is present as part and parcel we are of Krishna. He is present there in every living entity. So, tam sarvabhudakhdayam munim anathosmi. That when one is fully conscious of that, how else is he going to act? What difference is it going to make between male and female? What difference is going to make between the between one species to another? All what he is seeing at that point is the presence of the Supreme Personality of God in every living entity, as they are there, his part and parcel. So that is the perfection of that realization of these great souls. So Rishabhadev started walking and he was in that consciousness, but ordinary people took him as a mad person. And they started throwing stones at him and started ill-treating him and doing everything offensive what was possible. But Rishabhadev was not affected by any of that. That is what Bhagavatam says. And he started walking from there. And he continued to walk all through Bhagavasham. He started walking around. But while walking at that stage, many people offended him. Only a few personalities were able to recognize his state of consciousness, and therefore they paid their respects to him. But majority of the people took it in the opposite way. That is always the nature in this world. If you go by democracy and majority, everything will end up like this. That they will never be able to understand what's right and wrong. It's always the number that matters. So here, in the Rishabhadev's case also, this is exactly what has happened. He started walking around, and at one stage, Rishabhadev thought to himself, just before one goes back to the spiritual world, or one is in the totally liberated from this material world, the last few moments are very, very critical, because it was at that time that one drops off his last clothing. The last clothing means the last gross body drops off from him, and then the soul is gone back to the spiritual world, never to return again. So it is that the very critical moments in life. And at that time, sometimes it becomes very difficult also, because at that point, due to the high degree of realization, spiritual realization, one is not able to relate with the material world. At the same time, material world is not able to appreciate the position of these personalities, and they make all offenses to him at that time. And when Rishabhadev walked like this, at one point Rishabhadev decided that it is time for him now to give up his body. He has come to this conclusion, firm conclusion. And while walking through this, he came to the what is today presently known as the state of Karnataka. That is where he walked through eventually. There are the three districts, Venkatam, Kutakam, and the Kutaka Hills. He passed through all that area. And while walking through, he was in his mind, he was strongly thinking about leaving that body at that point. So suddenly he saw a big forest fire, and he decided to enter into that forest fire. Why did he do that? This is also an interesting question. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, while referring to this, Sukadeva Goswami explained to Parikshit Maharaj that when the great personalities, when they leave this world, they even at the last minute, they think about taking as many souls with them as possible to go back to spiritual world. So he knew that if I jump into the fire, I move into the fire, and if I give up this body, so many other living entities who were following him at that time, seeing his condition, they will also be forced to enter into the fire, and they will also get liberated at the same time. Lord Ramchandra's story also is significant at this time, because Lord Ramchandra, when he decided to leave this world, he also did exactly the same thing. He invited everybody from Ayodhya to come along with him, went to Sarayu River and told all of them, I am going to immerse myself in this river, along with me you should also go into the water. So every one of them, all many his servants, many monkeys and many others who were serving him, Lord Ramchandra in Ayodhya, they all went along with him back to the spiritual world, except there was one monkey who had to wait till Krishna had to come back and Balaram had to send him back later on. That is Vivithavadam. That is Vivitha, the another one of them who committed deliberately. He started looking, is anybody else not moving himself into the water? That's what he was doing. Lord Ramchandra asked everybody to go into the water and to go inside, and from there he took them back to the spiritual world. But this particular one, Vivitha, He was looking, he said, anybody not going down in the water? So he was busy with that. In the process that he was left behind, and everyone else was able to go back with him to the spiritual world. So anyway, in this our Rishabhadev's case also, what has happened was that Rishabhadev entered into the forest. But before he entered into the forest, he was lying down on the banks of the river Kaveri. When he was lying down there, something happened there. And that is very interesting. By now, Rishabhadev had all the yogic powers at his fingertips. He had all the yogas in his fingertips. That is the nature of any yoga system. Even for a devotee, when he is sufficiently advanced, then all the yogic powers automatically comes to him. That is what Krishna says in the Bhagavatam. That the yogic powers means there are so many yogic potencies which is described and discussed in the 11th canto. So here also, one day Rishabhadev was lying down in the sand and fully satisfied in extreme blissful state because of the realized state of mind. He was lying down there. So at that time a group of girls came there to see him. And when they came to see him, Rishabhadev lifted his head and looked at them. Who are you? He asked them. So they started saying their names one after the other. One said, my name is Anima. Another one said, my name is Mahima. And the third one said, my name is Garima. And the fourth one said, my name is Lekhima. So ma, like this, all four of them were giving their different names. And when he heard these names, immediately Rishabhadev sensed that they were the mystic powers who have personalized form. They have come to see him in their personal forms. All the mystic powers have their predominating deities. And these girls were the personified forms of these mystic powers who have come there. So when they came there, Rishabhadev understood, why did they come? He thought himself, why did they come to see me at this time? This is an important question to ask. Rishabhadev's mind immediately sensed that they have come to stop my progress of going back to the spiritual world. This was his realization. So he said to them, what was the purpose of coming here? They said to him that we have come to serve you. That's why we have come here. We have come to serve you. Rishabhadev said to them, you have my blessings. Please leave the place immediately now. And that's what Rishabhadev's answer was to them. That leave this place immediately. You have my blessings. They understood the situation. Because Krishna says in the Bhagavatam that as much as a devotee is in his process of going back to the spiritual world, demigods and even these living entities like the personified mystic powers, they will all like to pull you back from your path going back to the spiritual world. That is their duty, because every one of them will invite you to their planet and ask you to receive their hospitality and spend some time with them. Krishna says you have to be watchful about that. In the Bhagavatam, very clearly he says to Uddhava about this. Ittam dhyana yogi punarani mahamadhyashta samsiddhayasta dura shrutyada yobi ahamahamigaya sambhayevyan murare tul samrapto vilambavaham akhilamidam nadriye kamayeham tvame ananda purnam pavanapuravade pahimam sarvarogal. Krishna is saying that ittam no dhyana yogi, that dhyana yogam or meditation process also includes the chanting the holy name there. Ittam no dhyana yogi, when that is executed properly at stage, mahima ashta samsiddhayasta, this ashta aishwarya siddhi, this eight kind of mystic powers, namely the dhura shravanam, sitting in one place, one can hear what is going on 10,000 miles away. All these great yogic powers were available to most of the sages and their children as well. They have all cultivated this in their early life. Otherwise, that is why we find that in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Parikshit Maharaj was cursed by the son of Sringi, Shamigha Rishi's son, Sringi, Sringi was traveling from Brahmaloka. And from Brahmaloka, he realized what has happened here. Because he was able to see what was happening here, sitting in Brahmaloka. That is how these powerful these yogis were. Ittam dhyana yogi punarani mahiman ashta samsiddhayasta dura shrutyada yobi ahamahamigaya sambhayayan murare. That every one of them will come forward to the devotee telling him, let me serve you. This was their request at that time. So this is the reason why they have all come. And Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, that if that happened, What will happen is, they will only delay you, your going back to the spiritual world, because they are trying to block your return journey. In other words, they'll put so many obstacles, because people will get attracted to these things. For a devotee who wants to go back to the spiritual world, these things have no value. It is of no use. Krishna says, it doesn't help you. By trying to develop these mystic powers, it will only keep you in this material world. This was Krishna's words. And because Rishabhadeva was Krishna himself, already knew this problem will happen. And that is why he spoke in this manner, in this way to those personified mystic powers. So, ittam dhyana yoge punarani mahima dashta samsiddhayastha durashrutyadayovi ahamahamigaya sambadeyan murareyam. Let me serve you, let me ahamahamigaya sambadeyan murareyam. Krishna says, tulsamrapto vilambavaham akhilamidam. All these things will only cause problems to a devotee who wants to go back to Krishna's world. But can you imagine how many of us will have that strength to reject the mystic powers if it was offered to us? And even today in this world, even today, there are people who have come back like this and showing their mystic powers at different times to different people. This all happens in the yogic process. That when advancing on the yogic science, when one is trying to progress towards the spiritual world, these are the kind of obstacles what one has to face. And these are considered to be obstacles in the mode of goodness. Just like mode of ignorance and mode of passion, which already gives us enough problems in our own spiritual life. These are the kind of obstacles one comes in the mode of goodness even. So that is the reason why Krishna says, Nistrai Punyo Bhavarjuna, that you have to transcend the three modes of nature. Tulsam Rapto Vilambhavaham Akhilam Idam Nadriye Kamayeham. That when these, you can imagine, some of these mystic powers are so powerful that in the Ramayana there is a story. Hanuman was trying to travel to Lanka. So there was a she demon who tried to eat Hanuman. And Hanuman became bigger and bigger. And she started bringing her mouth bigger and bigger, making it bigger. And eventually at one point, Hanuman became the smaller than the smallest, going through her mouth and came through the ear out. That says in the Ramayana like that. So even personalities like Hanuman and many demons at that time, they were all developing these potencies or these mystic powers. Because it is through mystic powers they were able to execute their different activities the way they wanted to do it. And and these mystic powers has even destroyed the life of so many devotees also. That's what we have to remember. And some devotees who were not able to control their mind, because in the mode of goodness these things do happen. And when that happens, sometimes it is very, very difficult to reject them. That difficulty is there. And that is where the problem comes. Tulsam rapto vilamba vaham akhilamidam. That everything is so attractive at that point. You can imagine, walk through the sky, you can enter into somebody else's body and see what goes on in his mind and knows what's happening in other mind. Krishna explains all these things in detail in Ekadasya Skandham later on. But when you read all those mystic powers, and if you start acquiring those mystic powers, it is very, very difficult at that point to think about going back to the spiritual world. Material world becomes a place of great attraction at that point. Today, many people think that if you have a lot of wealth and a comfortable life in this world, they have no desire to go back to the spiritual world. Can you imagine what will happen when all these mystic powers comes to them? What desire will develop in their heart then? Then with that mystic powers, they want to play around. Just like when you get a new computer, a new program, how you want to play around with that. That same inquisitiveness and enthusiasm builds up in the mind when all these mystic powers comes in as well. Only thing is, these mystic powers are so powerful that it completely takes away one's goal from his mind. Ittam dhyana yoge punarani mahima dashta samsiddhayasa dura shrutyadayovi ahamahamigaya samsiddhayasa sambadeyan murareyam. Tulsam rapto vilambavaham akhilamidam nadriye kamayeham. That devotee has to make up his mind once for all. Do I want to hang around here or do I want to go back to the spiritual world? Tvamevananda purnam. Real bliss and happiness is Krishna. And unless and until we get back to Krishna, Pavanavaramade Pahimam Sarvadaval. Then it is, that is the mood of a devotee. Devotee has to be so focused in his mind that let these disturbances may not destroy him or disturb him in his life. So knowing very well all these things, Rishabhadev decided not to give much attention to them, and on the other hand, he wanted them to leave that place on the spot, straight away. So knowing very well that Rishabhadev knew what he was talking about, these eight yogic processors who came there in the personified form, they left the scene. They didn't stay there. They immediately left the place. But one thing they did while leaving, they left a nice smell around him. A very, very pleasant smell was left behind there. And when they left that smell there and walked away, anybody who had a nose to smell, they started coming down there to see this, where this source or the origin of this smell is coming from. So many, many living entities all came there to see him. And when they all arrived there, it was at that point, by then the forest fire has engulfed everyone there, and they all fell into the fire and they gone back to the spiritual world. That is how the Rishabhadev left this world. Rishabhadev's giving up this body is mentioned in the 6th chapter in that way. So Parikshit Maharaj was hearing all these things from Sukadev Goswami, and there are, as I said, it is not only in Rishabhadev's case, there are many, many instances. Not long ago, maybe 75 years, 100 years back, this has happened to some devotees. There was one devotee who who have chanted the holy name perfectly. And continuously chanting the holy name, he attained perfection. In other words, the result was that some of these mystic powers, he automatically started coming to him. This is not something, such a big thing. Mystic powers, developing mystic powers, is not a big thing. There are many people who had acquired mystic powers through their, even the process of Bhakti Yoga process. It automatically comes to them. Krishna gives them as a, Krishna says, when I give these mystic powers, there is a reason behind it, why he gives these mystic powers. Reason for that is that Krishna says that when a devotee wants to come back to me at the end, normal situation, I will offer them. Their maintenance is not a problem in this world anymore. Generally, it is provided by me. I have no problem with that. But even if sometimes, if there is a delay from my side in making sure that he has any difficulty in obtaining his livelihood or any other way to maintain himself, Krishna says the word in the Bhagavatam is Kalakshavana Hedavam. Kalakshavana means that just to maintain oneself, or kalakshepam, or what it is called, only for that reason Krishna says, I have given these potencies to them. In other words, so you can imagine, at least, I don't know here, but normally when great yogis who have got some mystic powers, all they have to do is, they have to walk into the marketplace and exhibit one or two of their mystic powers. And generally, people will crowd there. And immediately there will be people who wants to become his disciples. And all these kinds we see all the time happening. And not only that, they will immediately make arrangements that if you want to see that the mystic powers, you have to pay for it. They'll say to the people who come. And it is very easy for them that in an hour time, they'll have enough money for them to maintain themselves. So that is how the yogis start. The yogis fall off from their track. So Krishna says, it is only for this reason that if ever a yogi feels that he hasn't got enough opportunity for maintaining, he may use this as a means of to maintain himself. For this reason, Krishna says, I have given this mystic powers. But this one particular devotee, he has chanted the holy name, he took instructions from a great soul and practiced everything according to what he was instructed. The result was that after some time, Krishna has offered him some of these mystic powers. Result, when one instance, many, many people, one day while standing in the temple, while looking at the deity, he saw a young boy coming over who had epilepsy in him. So he went up to the boy and he saw his boy suffering due to epilepsy. And he went up to the boy and held his hand on him, his body, and started chanting the holy name. When he started chanting the holy name, in a few minutes, the boy recovered from his disease. and he became completely healthy and normal. And since then, the boy never got that illness again. After that, he never came back. Because this epilepsy also, according to Ayurveda, they all have personified forms. So basically, every disease, it says in the Shastra, that it has its own personified form. And it is those personified forms are requested by those who have the mystic powers to keep away from someone. So when this happened, the little boy's mother was so pleased with this that she started informing others also about what has happened. So in other words, many, many other people who came to know about this, they also started coming to him to get their illnesses cured from him. So this Shastriji, who has spent all his lifetime to chant the holy name and to become perfection, to attain perfection, eventually became a person who had to attend to so many patients at one time. They started approaching him with this. The result was that after a few years' time, he started understanding, realizing that he had no time to do his spiritual obligations. On the other hand, all his obligations became in curing the diseases of the people. Eventually, at one night, he came to his senses and he realized that these mystic powers has not helped me actually. They only come on my way. He left the temple and went to Benares, and he never heard about him after that. Because when one comes to the senses, that when one gives so much time and energy in spiritual life, performing sadhana and anushtanam and upasana, simply to advance on the spiritual path, and eventually if he gets victimized by these kind of mystic powers, that's not a very good situation. And that is what has happened to him. And this is, there are so many stories throughout you can hear who have fallen and victimized by their own mystic powers which has come to them in the progress of their spiritual life. So our Rishabhadev, who was of course the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was fully aware of this danger, and therefore he kept them away from him in the very beginning itself. So when all the living entities had given up their body like this, Parikshit Maharaj, who was present at that time and listening to Sukadeva Goswami, started lamenting at that point. Because Parikshit Maharaj's question was that, what an unfortunate person I am. Here I am, taken this dead snake, put it on the sage's neck, and I am sitting here waiting for the punishment. This is my position. This is what he was thinking. What a foolish person I am. At least if I was there, even as a plant or a tree or even an animal in that big forest, when Rishabhadev went back, at least I would have gone back to the spiritual world. On the other hand, I've come here and I have done all this nonsense, and then I'm sitting here for this last few days, we're hearing from Sukadeva Goswami. Remember, it's only the fifth canto now. So it's probably this the second day that he is listening to him. And he was thinking that, what an unfortunate person I am. And in his mind, it was going through at this time. In the Bhagavatam, you can see all these things in his mind coming out. That he says to Sukadeva Goswami, that at least if I was there, I could have gone back to be freed myself from this repetition of birth and death. This is what he was saying to Sukadeva Goswami. Sukadeva Goswami smiled at that point to Parikshit Maharaj. And he says in the Bhagavatam, that is where Sukadeva Goswami is, as a devotee, you see him, his attitude in life. He says to Parikshit Maharaj, my dear Parikshit Maharaj, you are thinking that you are not able to be there when Rishabhadeva has given up his body. Rishabhadeva gave up his body, and so many others gave up their body. They all got liberation, no doubt about it. But this liberation is not a big thing, he says to him. Liberation is possible when one becomes very, very serious in spiritual life. One has cultivated the necessary strength in spiritual processes. Eventually, one day, Krishna offers them liberation. It's not that Krishna is very unkind. Liberation is given to them, offered to them. And you don't have to lament very much. After all, Krishna himself has appeared in your family. Actually, he has given you ample opportunity. He appeared in the family of Yadavas, but you are not, although a member of the Yadava family, you are among the Pandavas family. He had been very, very, very kind to the Pandavas. That is what Sukadeva Goswami was reminding Parikshit Maharaj. Not only he was very kind to you, there is something more to it than that. He said, what Krishna has given you, even nobody else will offer you in your life. That is the glory of Krishna. Krishna's special mercy is that what Sukadeva Goswami wanted to describe to Parikshit Maharaj. And that is that one verse at the very, very last chapter of the sixth chapter, where it says there, then the that while giving up the body, that the glory of devotion or Krishna consciousness, this is what he said, that is not something you can compare even with liberation. This is how he put it to Parishit Maharaj. He says to him, Rajan Padir Guru Ralam Bhavadam Yadunam Devam Priya Kulavadi Kwaja Kingarovam Astu Eva Manga Bhagavan Bhajadam Mugundo Muktim Dadahi Karhijil Smana Bhakti Yogam. Then he says to Parishit Maharaj, Rajan Padir Guru Ralam Bhavadam Yadunam, that my dear king, he says to Parishit directly, and in a very, very smiling mood he expressed this. Rajan Padir Guru Ralam Bhavadam Yadunam. Then Krishna has appeared among the Yadavas, there is no doubt about it. But at the same time, he has been very kind to the Pandavas. Devam Priya Kulabadi Kwaja Kingarovam. That what all Krishna did to you and to the Pandavas, just think about it, he said. Devam Priya Kulabadi Kwaja Kingarovam. He was virtually acting as your servant. In one instance, as a charioteer to Arjuna. In another instance, as their representative to talk to Dhritarashtra about stopping the war. And in so many instances, he has protected you at different instances and different ways, including you in the very womb of Uttaradevi, what Krishna did to you. And Krishna has done all these things to you. And in these situations, Tasya Eva Manga Bhavadam Bhagavan Mukundam, that person who can offer you liberation, he is coming and doing all these things to you. And you are still thinking about liberation. In other words, Parishit Maharaj was ridiculed by Sri Shukadev at that point for showing interest in the liberation. Muktim dadahi karhijil smana bhakti yogam. Therefore he says there that Krishna gives mukti very freely. It is not something which he hesitates to give. He doesn't have much of hesitation. Muktim dadahi but karhijil smana bhakti yogam. But devotion Krishna doesn't offer very easily to anybody. That is what Parishit Maharaj was warned very, very strongly by Sri Shukan at that point. Sudeva Goswami wanted to understand that liberation is not the highest goal of life. Liberation is possible even in the human life with great sages. They are liberated. And there are so many personalities who have got their liberation. Muktim dadahi karhijil smana bhakti yogam. Bhakti yogam, Krishna will think twice before he offers devotion to someone. That is what Sri Shukan's words are here. He thinks twice because there is a reason behind it. What is the difference between a jnani and a bhakta? Jnani and a bhakta is the difference is, a jnani is not dependent on Krishna. Jnani's spiritual life is purely based on his own effort. He walks in the friend. Krishna thinks that he doesn't require any help. He can go. He has let him go. Krishna will just make sure that he gets to the destination. That is, Krishna offers that kind of perfection in his process. But for a devotee, it is different. Krishna carries the devotee. It's just like a father who has got two boys or two children. The grown-up one, he lets him walk. Let him walk because he can walk now. But devotee is a younger one. He has to carry him all the time in his hand. That is how Krishna deals with the devotee. Muktim dadahi karhijil smana bhakti yogam Rajan padar gururalam bhavadam yadunam Rajan padar gururalam bhavadam yadunam Devam priya padi kwaja kingaranam Astu eva manga bhavadam bhajadam mukundo Muktim dadahi karhijil smana bhakti yogam. That beauty of devotional process, beauty of Krishna consciousness, Sukadeva Goswami, a personality like him, is saying to Parishit Maharaj, only after listening to all these things, Parishit Maharaj understood that there is something very special about Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is something, that relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the devotee, that happiness in that relationship doesn't exist for the jnanis or for the yogis. That is exclusive for the devotee. Rajan Madhar Gururalam Bhavadam Yadunam Deva Priyam Padi Kojakingaranam Astu Eva Manga Bhagavan Astu evamanga vajadam bhagavan mugundo muktim dadahi karhi jil smana bhakti yogam. Krishna won't offer devotion to anybody so easily. People are thinking, I am a devotee, he is a devotee. We are all saying each other, oh, how great devotees we are all. That's all what we are talking about. Unless and until that recognition comes from Krishna, that word devotee word has no meaning. It is saying we are all very much conditioned personalities of this world. That pure devotion, what Shishuban is talking about here to Parikshit Maharaj, is something which is a very, very, very rare thing. That is why he says here, Muktim dadahi karhi jalsmana bhakti yogam. And in one instance, Vilamangalam was sitting underneath the tree. And when Vilamangalam was sitting there, so many people came there to see him. He was dreaming about Krishna at that time. And it is recorded in the Krishna Karanavaram itself by Vilamangalam. He himself says this, what has happened. So you don't have to go and ask anybody else, you can ask Vilamangalam himself, what has happened. Vilamangalam says there, he was sitting underneath the tree. A group of people came to see him one morning. He is a sannyasi also at the same time. And sannyasis, according to the Shastra and injunctions, is supposed to follow so many rules and regulations. They are supposed to bathe early in the early hours in the morning. Whole morning they have plenty of anushtanam. Anushtanam means lot of chanting Vedic mantras, and so many other things are there according to the injunctions. And all these things to perform, it requires a lot of time. A lot of time is required. Sannyasis don't live in this world. Actually, they live in the spiritual world. Although materially, physically they are here, their activities are purely spiritual. So when sannyasis were doing these things, Vilamangalam belonged to one of those group of people. And he had to do this. So he hasn't done anything. He hasn't even bathed himself that morning. He was sitting there underneath this tree. So it was then that all the predominating deities came there to see him. And because he was an elevated sannyasi and with his high spiritual position, they thought of coming and seeing him and talking to him and asking what has happened. So they came to him and they came up to him, see him. And Vilamangalam was sitting there and he was in a dozing off. He was quietly sleeping, and he was in a different world altogether. So when they came up and saw him, Vilamangalam opened his eyes and he saw all these people standing in front of him, and he asked them, who are you? Who are you? He asked, asking them. One of them said, I am the deity, predominating deity of Sandhyavandanam. Sandhyavandanam means the Sandhyavandanam is the duty of the Brahmanas and the Sannyasis at three different times in a day. They have to perform, standing in the water, offering oblations to the sun planet, and they have all these, there's a lot of things which they have to do. So Sandhyavandanam is one of those ritualistic things they perform normally. I am Sandhyavandanam personified, one of them said. And then he asked another person, who are you? He said, I am Snanam personified, that means bathing. I am the deity who is in charge of bathing of the different sannyasis when they bathe. It's my duty to make sure that they had gone through the process properly. So I am the predominating deity in relationship with bathing, he said. Then he said, asked somebody else. They said, oh, I am come from Pitraloka. I am the person who receives the oblations when in the Shraddha ceremony things are offered. That it's me who receives the oblations. So, why have you come? He said. So they said to him, my dear Swamiji, that question doesn't mean much, because we have come to ask you that why you are not doing anything. You are a sannyasi. You should have been bathing in time and you should have been performing your Sandhyavandana ceremony. Because when sannyasis perform all these things, they are benefited in the heavenly, in the higher planetary system. There is a relationship with all these things. It's not that they do something here and they do something else there. That's not like, it doesn't work like that. So they were expecting that whenever activities are performed here, the benefit of that, it goes to them. They get the benefit from that. Just like in the Vedas, when we have performed sacrifices, Indra and the other demigods receive the benefit from that. So in return, they provide us. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita very clearly that parasparam, mutually you benefit each other by executing your duties. So Vilamangalam asked them, smiled at them and said to them that they have come to bless me. All these personalities, they have come to bless me. That was their mood. They wanted to bless Vilamangalam and recognize his service and tell him to continue his duty. So on the other hand, what Vilamangalam did was, he said to them, Sandhya Vandana Bhadramastu Bhavado Bhosnana Tubhyam Namo. Sandhyavandanam, my blessings to you, he says to them. Exactly the opposite way. Instead of Sandhyavandanam blessing Vilumangalam, Vilumangalam was blessing Sandhyavandanam. He says to Sandhyavandanam, my blessings to you. Sandhyavandana bhadramastu bhavado bhosnana tubhyam mama. Then to the deity in charge of the bathing, he says to them, my blessings to you as well. Bodeva pidarascha darpana vidho. Then to the demigods on the Pitraloka, he says to them that you have my blessings as well. He started saying to them like this. They all started looking at him. They starts blessing me, blessing us. We have come to bless him. And on the other hand, he is blessing us. Sandhya vandana bhadramastu bhavado bhosnana dubhyam nama bodeva pidarascha darpana vidho naham kshama kshamyadam. Then please forgive me for my attitude. My nature is not very nice at the moment. Why? Naham kshama kshamyadam. Forgive me for my offenses to you, because I know you have come here to bless me, but I will bless you at this point in time. Why? Yatra kvabhi nishiddha yadava kulotam sasya kamsad dvisham smaram smaramakam harami tadalam manye kimanye namem. That when all these things you are telling me, I have a little problem here. Because what was happening to me all this time was, I just dozed off and personality came to see me. One person came to see me. And what happened was, he came and sat in my lap. A little boy, only about 2 to 3 years old, and he had a flute in his hand and a peacock feather in his head. He sat there on my lap and he started asking me questions. Tell me, Swamiji, what is this? What is that? He was asking me all these kind of questions. And what can I do? I couldn't ask him to get up and go, because he was enjoying my association. He was enjoying me and sitting with me and talking to me. Not only that, sometimes you see when they have small children, sometimes one mother will complain to another mother, I'm not able to do any of my duties at home, because till he gets up from my lap, how can I do anything? That's the way the attitude of the mother. It's similar to that mother's attitude. Vilamangalam's mood was, at this point, was like this. Sandhya vandana bhadramastu bhavado bho snana dubhyam nama bho deva vidarascha darpana vidho naham kshama kshamyadam. Then asking him, apologizing to them, asking for forgiveness. Yatra kvabhi nishiddha yadava kulottam sasyakam sad dvisham smaram smaramakam harami tadalam manye kimanye name. When that boy was sitting on my lap and he was constantly chatting to me, and I didn't know anything else, I didn't know what was going on, I was just enjoying that association with him, and in that association there was no question of me doing anything else. Because that is my, I think that is much more valuable. Yatra kvabhi kulo yadava kulottam sasya kamsad dvisham smaram. And who is that boy? He is nobody else than the enemy of Kamsa. And he was sitting on my lap, smaram, smaram akham. And while chatting with him, harami tadalam, that all my sinful activities, I have no fear about anything. I have no fear about if I take birth another time, what does it matter? This is the confidence of a devotee. This is the attitude of a devotee. Smaram smaram akam harami tadalam manye kimanye name. What do you expect me to do? He asked this question to them. What do you want me to do? He said to them. And they had no answer. And so therefore, immediately they left the scene and went away from there. And that is what, and there are so many instances like this in Vilumangalam's life. Different times Krishna has come, Krishna has spoken to Vilumangalam, Vilumangalam was talking to Krishna. And different reciprocation between Vilumangalam and Krishna. All this you can read in the Krishna Karnamadam. What Vilumangalam himself has explained, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted that and considered that as one of the topmost literature in the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. So you will find that this is how the devotee sees Krishna. For him, there is nothing higher than in this world. Liberation, muktim, dadahi, karhi, jilsmana, bhakti, yogam. That mukti has much higher, mukti has no value in relationship to the bhakti yogam. When Krishna has given devotion to a devotee, that also has to come from Krishna. Once only felt it is not possible to become a devotee. You become a devotee by Krishna's mercy. When Krishna gives that devotion to the heart, automatically everything will bloom in one's spiritual life. That is what in the Bhagavatam says. And to support this argument, Mukti Swayam Mugulidanjali Jaiva Asman Dharmartha Kama Gadaya Samaya Pratikshaha. That Ulivangalam says in the same Karnavatam, he says there, Mukti Swayam Mugulidanjali Jaiva Asman. Then personally they come, Mukti, personified Mukti, liberation comes and pays her obeisances to me. Dharmartha Kama Gadaya Samaya Pratikshaha. Whereas Mukti at least has come and tells me that let me pay my respects to you, because she knows that Mukti is easily available compared to Bhakti. But on the other hand, Dharmam, Artham, Kamam and Moksham, which is the four Purusharthas, religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, liberation, which is the majority of the goal of the human society in these things don't even dare to approach a devotee. They stay far away from there, because they know that they are not welcome here. Because liberation himself is being treated like that. What chance? Dharmartha kama gadaya samaya pradikshaha. That they are actually waiting for the time for an audience with the devotee. That is how Vilamangalam explains that. So keeping all these things in the background, Shri Shukan spoke to Parikshit Maharaj that you do not understand the value of Krishna consciousness. And slowly by slowly, Parikshit Maharaj was realizing at this point that what of good fortune I had in my life, that I was personally protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the womb of my mother. And later on in the Bhagavatam, as you saw in the first canto, Krishna has brought up Parikshit Maharaj. When he came to Ashwamedha, sacrifices were performed by Yudhishthira Maharaj. Yudhishthira Maharaj sent way to Dwaraka. Yudhishthira Maharaj sent someone to invite Krishna to come to Dwaraka. To Hastinapur. When he came to Hastinapur, before he came back, Krishna sent a message to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Don't expect me to give you much support this time. Because previously in the Rajasuya sacrifice, everything was done because of Krishna. Krishna was in the Rajasuya sacrifice, would have never got done. Yudhishthira Maharaj knew this. But this time, when Ashwamedha sacrifice was to be performed, Krishna sent the message from Dwaraka, I'm coming down there to see the mother and the son, and I don't think I will be available for the sacrifice. So Yudhishthira Maharaj thought it's very funny that Krishna says he is coming here, but he says he is going to be very busy. What is he going to be busy about? He was thinking like that. So when Krishna arrived there, immediately Kunti Devi, Yudhishthira Maharaj and everyone else went and paid their obeisances and welcomed him wholeheartedly. And Krishna was not interested in talking. He spoke some time to Kunti Devi, but after that, first thing he asked was, where is Uttara Devi? Because he knew when he left last time what has happened there. And Krishna wanted to see what has happened to the baby. Now the baby is born. Parikshit Maharaj was born. So Krishna was informed, Devaki Devi and Krishna was informed in Dwaraka that the baby is now born and they should come immediately to see the baby. That is how the message was sent. And along with that, this plan of Ashwamedha sacrifices also. So Krishna said that I am coming there to see the baby. So he wanted to see the baby. So immediately asked for Uttara Devi. Uttara Devi carrying Parikshit Maharaj came up to Krishna. So as soon as and handed over the baby to Krishna's hands. Can you imagine what would have gone through Uttara Devi's heart at that point? That anyone who is a little bit sensitive to things will notice that Uttara Devi wanted to give up her body when Abhimanyu was killed in the battle. When Abhimanyu was killed in the battle, on the same day, when the information reached, according to the Kshatriya principle, she wanted to jump into the fire and go back to along with her husband. So that was the system. But it is Krishna who stopped her from doing that. Because through Uttara Devi, Krishna wanted to maintain that dynasty of the Pandavas in this world. So it is because of Krishna's request that Uttara Devi stayed back in this world. And because of all that, Uttara Devi requested Krishna, when the baby started burning inside, because of the Brahmastram left by Ashwatthama, that Krishna felt special obligation, gone inside the womb of Uttara Devi, and in the Bhagavatam it is mentioned, Krishna was walking around with a fire in his hand, protecting Parikshit Maharaj from the power of Brahmastram, which was released by Ashwatthama. So this is how Krishna is protected. And inside the womb, Parikshit Maharaj has seen Krishna when he was inside. And that is why when he came out of the womb, First thing he wanted to see, who is that person whom I saw inside? And he was looking for him. And that is why he got this name Parikshit. Everyone he was asking, is he the person I see before? Is he the person I've seen inside the womb? Like that he was checking everybody. And therefore he was given this name Parikshit. And that Parikshit Maharaj is now brought in by Uttara Devi and handed over to Krishna. And what did Krishna do as the first thing? Krishna thought himself that at least he is living, that's fine. But is there any scar on his body? Because that Ashwatthama's Brahmastram, if it has created any scar on his body, it is a little bit a bad reflection on Krishna's ability to protect the devotee. So Krishna could not afford that. So apparently he took Parikshit's body and started looking everywhere if there was any kind of mark on anywhere in the body, whether any side of his body got burned or anything happened. Only when Krishna was satisfied there was nothing, he handed over the baby back to Uttara. And that is how that whole scene in the Mahabharata and the Bhagavatam is described. So immediately after that, Krishna told Yudhishthira Maharaj, don't expect me to do any help for you now in this sacrifice. You go on doing your Ashwamedham or whatever it is. I am busy, he said. And what was he doing? For months together, his only job was playing with Parikshit. This is Krishna. So that is the nature of Krishna, is that through Parikshit, he wanted to protect Parikshit. Why? Because through Parikshit, Krishna wanted to give Srimad Bhagavatam to this world. This is the whole thought process behind it. Great, great devotees have come to this conclusion that Krishna wanted Parikshit should stay in this world. Krishna wanted Parikshit should be cursed by the Brahmana boy, the saintly Brahmana boy. Krishna wanted Sudeva Goswami should come and speak to Parikshit Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna wanted Parikshit Maharaj should come back to the spiritual world. So in all these things, Parikshit Maharaj was the most important personality. Krishna wanted him to be there. And Parikshit Maharaj was not fully conscious of all these things. Although some of the things he was aware of, his mind was still thinking about this serious offense he has committed to this Brahmana by throwing that dead snake on his neck. And he's sitting here without eating and drinking or sleeping anything, listening from Sudeva Goswami's mouth, Sudeva Goswami's face, the glories of the different appearances of Krishna. So like this, that Rishabhadev's life finishes there. And while finishing, this was the last conclusion both Rishabhadev and Sukadeva Goswami had to say to Parikshit Maharaj, Rajan Padar Gurilam Bhavadam Yadunam Devam Riya Kujakingar Ovam and Asti Evamem Bhavado Bhagavan Mugundo Muktim Dadahi Karhijil Smana Bhakti Yogam. Devotion is not a very cheap thing. That is what we have to understand. Bhakti Yoga process is not a very cheap thing. You have to really satisfy and please Krishna before Krishna offers devotion to anybody. And unless and until, like Uddhava said to Krishna, that everybody tells me I am a devotee, he is a devotee, everybody is a devotee. But unless and until Krishna recognizes that, just like Krishna recognized in the case of Uddhava, that then you become a devotee, then you can say you are a devotee of Krishna. So it is that recognition that matters more than anything else, than liberation or any other higher mystic powers or anything else in the spiritual life. And this is the conclusion, or this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was constantly pushing this point across, that there is nothing higher than in that a relationship between a devotee and the Supreme Lord. Krishna consciousness is based on this principle. Therefore, we have to appreciate that this highest knowledge of spiritual life, of that loving relationship between the devotee and the Supreme Lord, is not available in any other yogic process. And that is exclusive for the devotee and Krishna. And it is through that relationship one can understand and appreciate why Bhakti Yoga process is so transcendental. Why it is such a nice process that one can understand the value of Krishna consciousness. So before I conclude, I'll just read one chapter, then we can go further. This is the chapter 5 of the 5th canto. Shri Rishabhavajam Nayam Deho Dehavajam Riloge Kashtangama Narha Devi Bhujamye Tabo Divyam Putragayena Sattvam Shuddhe Dasmal Brahma Saukhyam Tvanandam Mahal Sevayam Dwaram Ahur Vimuktam Tamo Dwaram Yoshidam Sanghi Sangam Mahandaste Samachita Prashanda Vimanyava Sukhada Sathavoyim.
അധ്യാത്മയോഗേന വിവിക്ത സേവയാ പ്രാണേന്ദ്രിയാത്മാവിജയേന സദ്രക് സശ്രദ്ധയാ ബ്രഹ്മചര്യേന ശശ്വത സംപ്രമാദേന യമേന വാചം സർവത്ര മൽഭാവിചക്ഷണേന ജ്ഞാനേന വിജ്ഞാനവിരാജിതേന യോഗേന നിർത്യധ്യുമസത്വയുക്തോ ലിംഗം വിമോഹേൻ കുശലോഹവാക്യം കർമാശയം ഹൃദയഗ്രന്ഥിബന്ധം അവിദ്യയാ സാധ്യതമപ്രമത്തം അനേന യോഗേന ഏതോപദേശം സമ്യക് വ്യവഹ്യോ പരമേത യോഗാൽ പുത്രാംശ്ച ശിഷ്യാംശ നവോ ഗുരുവാമല്ലോകകാമോ മദനുഗ്രഹാർത്ഥം മിത്തം ഇമന്യുനി ശിഷ്യാതതജ്ഞാൻ നയോജയൽ കർമ്മസു കർമ്മമൂഢാൻ കം യോജയൻ മരിചോർത്ഥം ലഭേത നിവാദയൻ നഷ്ടദൃശം ഹിഗർത്തേയും ലോകസ്വയം ശ്രയസി നഷ്ടദൃഷ്ടിയോർത്ഥാൻ സമീഹേത നിഗാമകാമം അന്യോന്യവൈരം സുഖലേശ ഹേതോ അനന്തദുഃഖം ചനവേദമൂഢാഃ കസം സ്വയം സവിജ്ഞോ വിവശ്ചില്ല വിദ്യയാ മന്ദരെ വർത്തമാനം ദൃഷ്ട്വാ മനസ്സം സഗുണക്വബുദ്ധിം പ്രയോജയേൽ ഉൽപദഹം യഥാന്തം ഗുരുർന്ന സസ്യാൽ സുജനോ ന സസ്യാൽ പിതാന സസ്യാൽ ുഷ്യാമധാസ്തോർവസിദ്ധാവിധാനുഗായ ദേവാസുരേഭ്യോ മഹവൽ പ്രധാനം ക്ഷാതയോ ബ്രഹ്മസുതാസ്തുദേഷാം ഭവപരസ്വതവിരീഞ്ചവീര്യം സമർപ്പരോഹം ദ്വിജദേവദേവാം നം ബ്രാഹ്മണൈ സ്തുലയേ ഭൂതമന്യൽ പശ്യാമി വിപ്രാ കിമതപരം ദോ യസ്മിൻ നിർവിപ്രാഹുതം ശ്രദ്ധയാഃ വസ്നാവികാമം നദധാഗ്നിഹോത്രേയം ധൃതാതനുരുശ്വതിമേ പുരാണം യേനേഹ സത്വം പരമം പവിത്രം ശമോ നമ സത്യമനുഗ്രഹശ്ച തമസ്തി നിക്ഷാനുഭവശ്ചേത്ര മത്തോപ്യനന്ദാൽ പരത പരസ്മാൽ സ്വർഗാപവർഗാധിപതേർണ കിഞ്ചിൽ യേഷാംഗിമു സ്വാതിതരേണ ദേശാമകിഞ്ചനാനാം മൈവക്തിവാചാം സർവാണി മധ്യസ്ഥതയാ ഭവദ്ഭിശ്ചരാണി ഭൂതാനി സുതാ ധ്രുവാണി സംഭാവിതവ്യാനി പദേ പദേവോ വിവിക്തദൃഗ്ഭിസ്തു ഹർഹണം മേ മനോവചോദൃക്കരണേ ഹി തസ്യ സാക്ഷാത്കൃതം മേ പരിവർഹണം ഹി വിനാ ഭൂമാന്യേന മഹാവിമോഹാൽ കൃതാന്തമാശാമി വിമോക്തുമീശേൽ ശ്രീശുഭവാചാം ഏവ മനുഷ്യാസ്യ ആത്മജാൻ സ്വയം അനുശിഷ്ടാന വിലോകാനുശാസനാർത്ഥം മഹാനുഭാവ പരമസുഹൃത് ഭഗവാൻ ഉഷമോപദേശ ഉപശമശീലാനാം ഉപരതകർമാണാം മഹാമുനീനാം ഭക്തിജ്ഞാന വൈരാഗ്യലക്ഷണം പരമഹംസ്യധർമ്മം ഉപശിക്ഷമാണ സുഖനയന ജ്യേഷ്ഠം പരമഭാഗവതം ഭഗവജ്ജനപരായണം ഭരതം ധരണി പാലയന അഭിഷിച്ച് സ്വയം ഭവനമേവോർവരിത ശരീരമാത്ര പരിഗ്രഹമുന്മത്തം ഇവ ഗഗനപരിധാന പ്രകീർണകേശ ആത്മന്യാരോപിതാം ആഹവനീയോ ബ്രഹ്മാവർത്താൽ പ്രവവ്രാജാം ജടാന്ധമോഘവിതരവിഷാജോന്മാദക അവധൂതവേഷാം അവധൂതവേഷോപി അഭിഷ്യമാണോ ജനാനാം ഗൃഹീതമൗന വ്രതസ്തൂഷ്ണീം ബഭൂവാം തത്ര തത്ര പുരഗ്രാമാകരഖേടവടേ ഖർവണ ശിബിര വ്രജഘോഷ സാർത്ഥഗിരി വനാശ്രമാദി അനുപദ ഭവനി ചരാപസതി പരിഭൂയമാനോം അക്ഷികാവിരിവ വനഗജ സർജന താടനാവഹമേഹനഷ്ടി വനഗ്രാമചക്രദ്രജ പ്രക്ഷേപ പൂതിവാദുരുക്തൈ തദ്വിഗണയന്നേവ വാസസംസ്ഥാനമേതദസ്മിൻ ദേഹോപലക്ഷണേ സദുപദേശ ഉഭയാനുഭവസ്വരൂപേണ സ്വമഹിമ അവസ്ഥാനേന സമാരോഹിത അഹം മമ അഭിമാനത്വാദ അവിഖണ്ഡിതമനാം പൃഥിവീ മേഘചര പരിവഭ്രാമാം അതിസുകുമാര കരചരണോരസ്ഥല വിപുല ബാഹുസ്സകലവന വദനാദ്യ അവയവ വിന്യാസം പ്രകൃതി സുന്ദര സ്വഭാവ ഹാസസുമുഖോ നവനളിന ദളായമാന ശിശിരധാര അരുണായ അരുണായ തനയന രുചിര സദൃശ സുഭഗ കപോല കർണകണ്ഠനാസോ വിഗൂഢസ്മിത വദന മഹോത്സവേന പുരവനിദാനാം മനസി കുസുമശരാസന ഉപതദാന പരാഗവലംബമാന കുടില ജടില കവിഷകേശ ഭുരിപാരോ അവധൂതമലിന നിജ ശരീര ഗ്രഹഗൃഹീത വിവാദൃശ്യത യർഹിവാവസ ഭഗവാൻ ലോകമിമം യോഗസ്യാധാ പ്രദീപം യുവാജനക്ഷണ ഇവാചാക്ഷാണസ്ഥൽ പ്രതിക്രിയാ കർമ്മ ഭീപത്സിതമിതി വ്രതമാജം ആഗരസ്മാസ്തിന ശയാനം ഏവാസ്നാദി പിബതി ഖാദത്യമേഹേതി ഹതതി സ്മ ചേഷ്ടമാനം ഉച്ചരിതം ആദിഗ്ധോദ്ദേശം തസ്യ ഹയ പുരീഷമസുരഭി സൗഗന്ധ്യവായു സ്തംഭദേശം ദശയോജനം സമന്താൽ സുരഭിം ചകാര ഏവം ഗോമൃഗകാകചര്യേയം വ്രജം സ്തിഷ്ടന്നാസീനം ശയാനകാകമൃഗഗോചരിത പിബതി ഖാദത്യമേഹതി സ്മ ഇതി നാനാ യോഗചര്യാചരണോ ഭഗവാൻ കൈവല്യപതി ഋഷഭോ വിരത പരമ മഹാനന്ദാനുഭാവമാത്മനി സർവേഷാം ഭൂതാനാം ആത്മഭൂതേ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവേ ആത്മനോ വ്യവധാനാനന്ദരോദര ഭാവേന സിദ്ധ സമസ്താർത്ഥ പരിപൂർണ യോഗേശ്വര്യാണി വൈഹായ സമനോജവ അന്തർധാന പരകായ പ്രവേശ ദൂരഗ്രഹണാദീനി എതിർച്ഛയോപകരാണി അഞ്ജസാ നൃഭൃതേന ഹൃദയേനാഭ്യാനന്ദൽ ഇനി ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതി മഹാപുരാണി പഞ്ചമസ്കന്ധേ ഋഷഭദേവാനുചരതേ പഞ്ചമോധ്യായം ശ്രീരാജോവാച നൂനം ഭഗവൻ ആത്മരാമാണാം യോഗസമീത ജ്ഞാനഭാവജിത കർമ്മബീജാനാം ഐശ്വര്യാണി പുനഃക്ലേശദാനി ഭവിതുമർഹന്തി എതിർച്ഛയോഗദാനി ഋഷിരുവാചാം സത്യമുക്തം കിന്തിഹവാമേകേന മനസോദ്ധാ വിശ്രമമനവസ്ഥാനസ്യ ശാഠഗിരാതമിവ സംഗച്ഛന്തേ തഥാ ചോക്തം ന കുര്യാൽ കഹിജൽ സഖ്യം മനസ്സി ഖ്യനവസ്ഥിതേ യദ് വിശ്രംഭാ ചിരാജീർണം ചസ്കന്ധതവം ഐശ്വരം നിത്യം ദദാതി കാമസ്യ ഛിദ്രം ധാനുയേനെ യോഗിന കൃതമൈത്രസ്യ പ്രത്യുജ്ജായേയം ശരീ കാമോമന്യോർമദോലോപം ശോകമോഹയാവയ കർമ്മബന്ധശ്ചയന്മൂല സ്വീകരിയാൽ കൊണുതത്ഭുത അതയോമഖില ലോകപാലം അലലാമോപി വിലക്ഷണൈ ജഡവ അവധൂത വേഷഭാഷാചരിതൈ അവിലക്ഷിത ഭഗവൽ പ്രഭാവോ യോഗിനാം സാമ്പരായുധി മനുഷ്യക്ഷയൻ സുകളേബരം ജിഹാസുരാത്മന്യാത്മാനം അസംവ്യവിഹിതമനാർത്ഥാന്തരഭാവേന അന്വേക്ഷമാണാം ഉപരദാനൂർത്തി ഉപരരാമ തസ്യഹവായവ മുക്തലിംഗസ്യ ഭഗവതം ഋഷഭസ്യ യോഗമായ വാസനയാ ദേഹ ഇമാം ജഗതീം അഭിമാനാഭാസേന സംക്രമവാണം കൊങ്ക വെങ്കടകുടകാൻ ദക്ഷിണ കർണാടകാൻ ദേശാൻ യോഗതം കുടകാചലോപവനം ആസ്തികൃതാശ്മകളം ഉന്മാദം ഇവ മുക്തമൂർദ്ധജോ സംവീതം ഇവ വിജചാരാം അഥ സമീര വേഗ വിധൂത വേണു വികർഷണ ജാതോ ഉഗ്രതാം ഉഗ്രത ദാവാനലസ്തധനമാലേ ലിഹ്വാനം സഹദേന ദദാഹാം യസ്കിലാനുചരിതം ഉപാകർണ്യം കൊങ്കവെങ്കകുടകാനാം രാജർഹാം നാമോ വശിഷ്യകുലാവധം ഉത്കൃഷ്യമാണേ ഭവിതവീഹീന വിമോഹിത സ്വധർമ്മപദമകുതോ ഭയമപഹായ കപതമാകണ്ഡമസമഞ്ജസം നിജമനീഷയാമന്ദ സംപ്രവർത്തയിഷ്യതേ യേന ഹവാവകലോമനുജാവസദാം ദേവമായ വിമോഹിതാം സുവിനി യോഗശൗചാരിത്രവിഹീനാം ദേവഹേളന്യാം അപപ്രദാം നിജനിജേച്ഛയാ ഗൃഹ്ണാനാം അസ്നാനാം ആചമനാം ശൗചകേശോല്ലുഞ്ചനാദീനീകലിനാം ധർമ്മബഹുലേനോ ബഹദതിയോ ബ്രഹ്മബ്രാഹ്മണയജ്ഞപുരുഷാം ലോകവിദൂഷകാം പ്രായണ ഭവിഷ്യന്തി തേജഹ്യവ്യാക്വ So that is the end of the sixth chapter, and now the seventh chapter onward we have the story of Bharata Maharaj, that is the eldest son of Maharaj Rishabhadev, which will start on the next Sunday. So if there's any questions or comments, please.
How much you talk about Yudhara and receiving instruction from Krishna,
yes.
And when we don't have that sort of like that, it's, that actual sort of instruction, how much do you know? I sometimes think there's that saying that Shakespeare says that our doubts they are traitors, you know, and you know it's like they're like little thoughts that come into our head. You don't have to do that, not now. You're tired, you know, all this sort of stuff. And how much do these subtle living entities play in this this in our doubts, you know, and say, oh, should I not do this, or oh, this is getting too difficult, or and this sort of thing. How much do they play in our thoughts, you know, especially when we are tired and things like that?
Do you mean the subtle living entity?
Yeah, like ghosts and things like that.
Yes, the subtle living entities, particularly the ghosts and all the other, so many of them in the listed, they have an influence in the sense that in general spiritual life, if one is focused in spiritual goal, ultimate goal, what he wants to be at the end, what is that goal, that should be very clear in his head, in his mind. That is where I want to be at the end. That's what I'm working for. That goal should be always there. Whether it follows the Jnana Margam or Karma Margam or Bhakti Margam, whichever process is, a personality who is trying to follow in the spiritual path, he should have the goal in his mind, what ultimately he is looking for in spiritual life. It's not that sometime we want to pass time in this world as a devotee as well, like so many other things we have done. It's not that. The serious person who is trying to advance spiritually, he will always have this goal in his head all the time. That's what makes his spiritual life serious. Otherwise, you may take it that it is a part of life, like so many other things we do. Now, as far as the other living entities are concerned, that some of them can be helpful and some of them can be detrimental also in his spiritual life. So, that is, again, all the what you have to remember is that every other living entity in this world is controlled by Krishna. Behind that it is Krishna. One devotee, he fell very sick. He felt so sick. Eventually, he had no shelter except to go to Krishna for help. In the sense that he experienced in his life that at a young age, he got paralysis and arthritis all combined together. He became so ill and no treatment was working. So eventually, he decided that because he was learned, and because he was spiritually conscious of the effect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he decided to take Krishna's shelter. So he went to the temple and spent a long time in serving Krishna in that situation, even while suffering in that condition. Day after day, he served Krishna with his mind, the best possible way he did that. And after some time, by Krishna's mercy, he got relieved from all that, got relieved from everything, all his illnesses. He became completely healthy. And one day, he was walking, after many years, he was walking around in the street. And suddenly, he saw all these diseases were caught hold of him before, in their personal form. He saw them. Because what we see with our eyes in this world is so limited. And it is nothing what we see actually, to tell the truth. What we see through our eyes, for which we give so much credit these days, that I've seen with my own eyes, they will say. But what do we see really? We see so little in relationship with what exactly exists in there. That is why when you're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, you have to have a lot of open-mindedness in you. You have to be a little bit open in your thinking, understanding that these senses are not perfect in itself. What we experience everything in this world through our senses is a very, very limited thing. Like the earthly planet when it was described, like Priyavrata when he drove the chariot around, there were so many so many seas and islands were born from that. And that is all a part of this earthly planet, this earthly cluster, as it's called Bhumandalam. But in our naked vision, we don't see all that. So we reject all that. That is this all just story they have built up. So naturally, it won't take very long for you to reject Bhagavatam also, if we have that nature in us. And unfortunately, many people in the modern system, modern education system, believes that these eyes are absolutely perfect. Everything what you see with the eyes is the only thing that exists. Nothing exists beyond the eyes. That's their strong conviction. And therefore all the experiments, research work, everything they do is always based on this. What senses brings to accept, that's acceptable. What senses don't accept is not acceptable. So that basis. So similarly, when I say this story, that personified forms of these diseases were walking around and he saw them there, and he has compiled a verse, a beautiful verse, thanking them. Because he says to them, if you had not come and caught me at that time when I was in that situation, my mind would have never turned into Krishna consciousness. On the other hand, because he was a scholar and because he was used to being honored by the kings of those days, he used to go to their assemblies and he used to engage in debates and get recognized by the kings and the great scholars and used to be presented. What would have been my situation, he says in that verse. I don't remember the verse, but this is extensive the meaning. So you can see that although he was affected by the disease, it turned out to be a good thing for him later. So similarly, all these other living entities also, it may turn out to be good, it may turn out to be bad in your spiritual life. That's very difficult to say. That's controlled by Krishna's arrangement. It is Krishna who is working behind everything. And he wants to make somebody a devotee. It doesn't happen a straightforward thing. There may be so many other factors behind it, which only Krishna knows. Nobody else knows about it. So Krishna's plan goes on. A devotee has to work along with it. He cannot get to know everything prior to that. A devotee comes to know about it at a time later on, that what Krishna has done to him in his early life was something good for him, ultimately. He can only appreciate that at a later time in his life. In the early times, he's constantly complaining to Krishna, "You give me all problems. By taking your shelter, you only give me problems, nothing else. I couldn't enjoy," and somebody is lamenting, "I couldn't enjoy my life. I miss my material life. I miss my spiritual life. Everything I've lost." All these kind of false conclusions he comes into. But that is not that what the Shastra says and the devotee says. Devotees, great devotees, their conclusion is that everything what Krishna has given is good for me at the end. Because if that has not happened to me, I would not have come to you. I would have been still rotting around doing some other nonsense in this world. So that is the way devotee sees things. And to understand Krishna's plan and Krishna's way of doing things is difficult, because different devotees, Krishna has reciprocated in different ways. It is never the same with one devotee what Krishna does with the another devotee. It's always different. You will see that all through the Bhagavadam, you can see, this is the lessons one can learn from Bhagavadam, that Krishna's way of reciprocation to devotee is always different from one to another. Never it is the same. And so, therefore it is very difficult to say how other living entities influence. We have no control on it. It is only Krishna is in control about it. Devotee's duty is to carry on doing what he has to do to please Krishna. What comes back from Krishna's side, that is, you have to leave it to Krishna, whatever that may be. That is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, Ashlishyava Padaradam Pinishtumam Adarshane Amma Mahadam Karyodhuva Yatha Tathava Vidhadhu Lambado Matrana Nathastuna Evano Param. Why does he say like that? He means that you can either embrace me or Ashlishyava Padaradam Pinishtumam, or you can kick me also. I have no objection, he says. Yatha Tathava, this is surrender. This is a devotee's mentality. That is the nature of degree of surrender required to become a devotee. But that surrender, we have no preconditions with Krishna. Krishna doesn't accept any conditions from anybody, no matter who it is. Ashleshyava padredam pinishtumam adarshanam marmaham karoduva. Whatever you do, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, it's acceptable to me. I don't complain, he says. So when it comes to that degree of surrender, Krishna accepts that. He says, now he is ready for the receiving the Krishna's mercy. And that is how Krishna reciprocates with the devotee. And that is something very difficult to say, how it will happen, all that. That's completely beyond our control.
I just wondered about the liberation and all that. When we say devotees go back to the spiritual world, or go back to God, is that liberation? And how... When
you're
talking about liberation and
the difference between... In real terms, liberation means once you have gone out of the three modes of nature. These three modes of nature in this material world is the representative of Maya. Maya is one that is controlling us. But most of us do not accept the presence of Maya. And the more you do not recognize Maya, the more you are in Maya. That's how it is. You can see that. I mean, people who do not believe in Maya, you tell them that there is Maya, they just joke at you, they just laugh at you. But the fact is that they are so much in Maya that they can't even accept that there is Maya. And this Maya's agent in this material world is the three modes of material nature. So these three modes of nature controls us very tightly, very tightly. When one is released from these three modes of nature, then you are liberated. You are liberated. That means it's not the body that matters, it is the consciousness that matters. Today our consciousness is infected with the three modes of nature. We have no independence to think even if we want to. Sometimes in the mode of goodness, sometimes in passion, sometimes in ignorance. It's going back and down, up and down all the time. But when one is released from that condition, he is liberated condition, because in that time what exists is only Krishna consciousness. And in a Krishna consciousness is the pure state of liberation. Now, that liberation, state of liberation also, is spoken in the Shastra in different ways. For example, some devotees, some acharyas have categorized devotion into five forms: salopyam, samipyam, sarupyam, sayujyam, like that. And they are different states of existence after leaving this material world, once you're back in the spiritual world. So that liberation, that somebody who has wants to, depending on his relationship with Krishna, Krishna rewards them what kind of state of liberation they want, they'll qualify for. That's all in Krishna's hands. Nothing is in our hands. Everything depends on the devotee's surrender and devotee's attitude in his spiritual life. So samipya means being closer to Krishna all the time. Salokya means living in the same planet. Sarupya means same form as 400 form of the Vishnu in the Vaikuntha planet. Sayujya means one goes and merges with the Absolute Truth. Some people do not want to have a separate existence anymore, because having gone through this material world and see the conditions of this material world, they have come to the firm realization that it is the separated existence from Krishna is giving us all this pain. So they look for, desire for liberation from this material life once for all. They feel that they want to merge with the Absolute Truth. So Krishna allows them also to relate. That is the mukti state of liberation, what they are talking about. So, but in all this liberated state, the happiness what comes from devotion, Krishna consciousness, is superior. Because there are so many Vaikuntha planets, and in so many of these Vaikuntha planets, one gets an opportunity to go back if one is liberated from this material world. And during the process of going back to the spiritual world, there is, it's mentioned in the second canto before, there are two types of processes, Kramamukti and Sadhyamukti. Kramamukti means gradual liberation, Sadhyamukti means once for all.